Good morning. Today I am speaking on standing together. Over this year of our 100 years, we've been very intentional on the ministry that has been shared, and it has been great to be able to look at what has been and be encouraged to move forward. And for us now, as we're coming into a new season, that actually there's a strength in us being able to move forward together, to stand together. What I mean by this is it's when a group of people, they stand together on a particular matter, they agree strongly, and they take action because of that. They take action together because they agree on something, because they stand together on a matter. And throughout history, we have seen times when people have stood together because they agree on something and they feel strongly about it, and it has shaped history. When I was at school, there was one time in history that really moved me and inspired me. And even now I love me and my little girl will read about this individual in history, and it's Rosa Parks. I loved reading and learning about Rosa Parks and the Montgomery bus boycott in 1955. That actually what Rosa Parks did in a time of segregation is she said no to giving up her seat on a bus. But actually what happened after that is that people stood with Rosa, and there was a bus boycott, which led to, it may have taken a long time, but it led to end of the segregation between black and white people. I was so inspired by this as a young girl. You know, we find that there is power when people come together and agree on a matter. Maybe it's an injustice, maybe it's something that's not right, maybe it's a point of view, that there can be great power when people stand together on a matter. But we've also seen in history that there's times when people have stood together on a matter and it's not been that positive. It hasn't shaped history in a good way. And even right now, you might be thinking of times in history when you have heard stories about things that have happened in history and people have stood together on a matter and it's not been quite right. It hasn't been positive for us as humanity, as mankind. It might be that even personally you've been hurt or negatively affected by people standing together on a matter, that maybe they've had a viewpoint that's hurt you personally because it's kind of come at you. Maybe that's in your workplace or in family or whatever it is, that sometimes it can be on a personal level, can't it? That when people agree on a matter, maybe they've not got the whole picture or whatever it is, not agree on a matter, and it can cause pain for you. It is clear to see that actually standing together can be very powerful, but it doesn't mean it's always positive. And how do we know? How do we know that our standing together, yes, it might be powerful and things might be happening, but how do we know that it's actually positive, that it's something that is good? And this morning, I want to take us to the Bible. I absolutely love the Bible. It has changed my life. It is a book that is living and active. And so this morning, I want to take us, first of all, to Genesis 11, verse 1 to 9, in the account of the Tower of Babel. It is on the screen, but if you want to turn to it, you can, or on your phone. It's Genesis 11, verse 1 to 9. And it says, "Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward and they found a plain in Shinar and settled there, they said to each other, 'Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, if as one people speak in the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the earth. What we see here is that God acknowledges there is power when we as humans come together and stand together on a matter. That God is acknowledging there's something powerful about that. But what we see here at the Tower of Babel is even though that's powerful, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily blessed by God or it's God ordained. That actually at the Tower of Babel, God came and he scattered the people because it wasn't something that was blessed by God. That the people coming together wasn't something that God wanted. And I just, when I've been thinking about this, I've just felt that it's something really important to take note of. That actually standing together can be really powerful. But as a church, our heart is that everything we do is blessed by God and God ordained. I may not know your story today. I may not know your heart's desire. But my prayer for us this morning is that as we move into this new season as a church, that we would be people who live where we can stand together with everything we're doing being God ordained. That our standing together isn't just powerful, but it is positive too. Not just powerful, but positive together. Positive too. That our experience of standing together may be positive for us and positive to our towns, to our communities, and to our world. When we look at the Tower of Babel, we see a real contrast in a story that happened after Jesus. And this is at the Pentecost in Acts. So if you want to turn in your Bible to Acts 2, verse 1 to 14, I'll just maybe skip some bits in the middle, but it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. And then in verse 14, it says, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. And Peter goes on to share all about Jesus and his resurrection. Here we see that one was God ordained and one was not. The people coming together in Acts, it was a powerful moment where they received the Holy Spirit. And then, as you see there, it says, then Peter stood up with the 11, that actually they were able to stand together in a powerful way and also a positive way, in that they were able to share about Jesus and his resurrection. What we see at Babel is that they were more interested in making a name for themselves, but what we see here in the early church is they were all about making Jesus's name known. Both were powerful, but actually one was positive, one wasn't. And I absolutely love reading about the early church. It really inspires me because what you see is a group of people that actually, it didn't matter what opposition they faced, that they had such a good news of Jesus and his resurrection that they couldn't help but share it. They couldn't help but stand together on this matter and have shaped history, that we stand here together today because of that. And then thinking about our 100 years, I have been really inspired that it is in our DNA. That as we talk about this, about sharing the gospel, about sharing about Jesus and his resurrection and Jesus's transformation in our lives, that that is our DNA. And Bishop Matthew on our 100 years service, he encouraged us as a church. And as I sat there, I felt really emotional because what he said is, and I also want to remind you at this special time of the vision that Willie Hacking had 100 years ago as he began your church back in 1925. As he began to preach the good news of Jesus in Bolton and gather people and formed this church, that's in your roots. That's your DNA. And I want to encourage you to keep telling people about Jesus. Find all sorts of creative ways to do that. Don't stop commending Christ and inviting people to follow him. I was so encouraged that I was like, yes, this is our DNA as a church. This is our roots. And 100 years is a long time, but actually, as we go into this new season, let us not forget our roots. Let us not forget our DNA, that actually we are here because of Jesus. It is what sets us apart, and we want to not hold that to ourselves, but we actually want to share Jesus with our worlds. I'm thankful for Willie Hacking. I'm thankful that he had the boldness to stand on the town hall steps. And I'm thankful for the people that came after him that stood with him. Aaron, last week in the first service in the baptism, he spoke about a man called Peter Riley. He's part of our history. And Aaron shared that a quote that was said about Peter was, "More than 25 years, he faithfully served the Lord in Bolton. He was always ready to stand in the gap and preach the gospel of the grace of God in many Lancashire towns. He was a man full of the Holy Spirit, and I once heard a little girl saying of his home in Rose Street, Farnworth, 'That's the house where Jesus lives.'" There are so many things that we as people could stand together on. There are so many matters, so many issues we could stand together in. But I want to encourage us this morning that our roots, our DNA, not only go back 100 years, but back to the early church, where actually we are called to stand in the name of Jesus. We are called to not make our own names known, but to make Jesus's name known. It's the call of the Great Commission to therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. It was great to celebrate baptisms last week, and it's so encouraging that we are able to keep on going. And today, really, this morning, it's an encouragement for us that sometimes we can grow tired and we can grow weary, but let's not lose sight of what Jesus has done in our own lives, and actually let's stand together on one of the greatest matters that has ever been, that Jesus would come to earth because he loves us so much, and because God wants to reconcile us to himself, to have a relationship with him. And that our Jesus conquered death. That our Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And at the end of my life, I want it to be said that one of the greatest honors of my life is that I would give my everything to Jesus and making his name known. And as I've been talking about like the early church. This morning, as we move forward into this new season, there's a few things that I have seen within the early church as I read Acts that I feel are a great encouragement for us as a church as we choose to stand together and move forward together, making Jesus's name known. And that is that we see in Acts 2, verse 2, it says that they were, when it talks about them in the sitting there, it says they were all sitting, that they were all together in one place and they were all sitting. Something that really jumped out to me is that the early church, they sat together. That was something that they would have learned with being with Jesus. That actually as they walked with Jesus whilst Jesus was on earth, that they learned to sit with Jesus together. That there came a great strength of sitting together. And I believe for us as a church that if we are going to be people who stand together, we've got to learn how to sit together. We've got to learn how to sit together and to sit with Jesus. That was the norm for them. It was the norm for them to sit around and to hear Jesus's teachings. And as they came to Acts, when Jesus had gone back to heaven and they'd got filled with the Holy Spirit, it became the norm for them that they continued to be together. They continued to sit together. Life can be so busy and it's only getting busier. And sometimes we need to be intentional that we can sit together. That actually there's moments when as a church we might face opposition and we are called to stand together. And it will only be, we're only going to be able to stand together if we sit together. If we know each other, if we know each other's hearts, if we know what people's giftings are, what people's strengths are, what people's weaknesses are, that we can stand together in a strong way and in a powerful and positive way when we are able to sit together and truly know one another. You know, I absolutely love my role here as the Knots to 18s minister. And something that we've seen, and I always get a bit emotional when I talk about this, but we have our Tuesday Kids Club on a Tuesday night. And we started off with some of our church kids that came, and then we've like opened it up to the community. And we were quite intentional in that because we wanted the children to be able to be a light in our community. We wanted them to be able to spend time together and be a witness to the children in our community. And something that has been so lovely to see is that each week we'll like sit around in a circle, we'll share about highlights of the week, we'll pray together, we'll read a Bible story together, and the children all sit together. But what we've actually seen over time is that maybe when we first started Kids Club, we had maybe times of conflict or children falling out. And don't get me wrong, we do every now and again have that because they're very competitive when it comes to play dodgeball. But actually what we have seen is that there's a real sense of unity within them, that they stand together, they have each other's backs. And then when they go to things like kids camp or things like that, it's as if they might not spend loads of time together, but it's as if they're family and they clock one another, that they have been to kids club together, that they have sat around together, that they've heard about each other's weeks, that they've learned about Jesus together. And I think that that's a beautiful picture and a picture for us as a church as we learn from the children that if we are going to stand together, that actually we need to learn to sit together too. Another thing that we see within the early church is that they were devoted. In Acts 2 verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What really inspires me about the early church is that they were so devoted. They were devoted to God's word. They were devoted to praying together. They were devoted to one another. And actually what they were doing is they were living out the commandments, the greatest commandment, to love the Lord, their God, with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their mind. And then to love their neighbor as themselves. They were devoted to what Jesus had called them to do. And for us as a church, if we're going to stand together in making Jesus' name known, that actually there's that level of devotion within us that we would go, yes, Jesus, we want to know more about you, Jesus. We want to love you with our everything. We want you to be the most important thing. And that actually that love would be reflected in our love for one another too. One thing that I've seen in my life is that actually at times it can be very easy, can't it? We're all human, it's all natural, that there can be things that frustrate us, things that are difficult, things that are hard. And sometimes when you find someone that kind of agrees on that matter, it can be easy for that to like grow and to grow and to grow. But actually something that I've seen positive in my relationships, and when I talk about that devotion, is actually making prayer a priority. That actually you can, maybe there can be issues, but we're actually when they arise, that actually going, actually let's pray about this together. Let's pray about it, because actually that level of devotion going, actually we want Jesus, we want you to be the center of this matter. We don't want to do it on our own strength, but we want you, Jesus, to be the center of this. And so we see within the early church, and you see as you read Acts, there were so many times where they were together praying on a matter. And it could have been easy for them to moan or groan when they maybe saw a brother or sister in Christ in prison or in cells because of them proclaiming the name of Jesus. It would have been easy for them to stay in a room and moan and groan, but actually what they did is they prayed together. They said, let's seek Jesus on this matter. And they prayed together. They were devoted in that. And then the last thing is that they stepped out. That actually what you see in the early church is that they faced opposition and persecution, which meant they were scattered. They had to step out. And what you see in this is that even though they might not have all been together in one place, there was a sense of them standing together as they stepped out and they kept declaring the name of Jesus. And we see that there's that thread within Scripture of God's heart for us to go and to fill the earth, to be his witnesses in the earth. I've already said about the Great Commission and that call to go. But actually, if you go right back to Genesis, it talks about how we were made in God's image and that we are called to fill the earth. We are called to go and multiply. That actually what we see is this picture of God's heart for us is that we would be able to go in this world and be his witnesses. That actually there is that where we may need to have that courage, where sometimes it can be easy to kind of sit down on a matter or sit down that actually God is saying, no, I want you to go on this matter. And that there comes great strength when you know that actually there's somebody going to be standing with you. There's somebody that is going to be standing with you. It says in Acts 9 verse 31, when it talks about the disciples, it says they walked in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They walked in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. This beautiful picture of the disciples that actually they'd learned to sit together. They'd learned to be devoted to Jesus, him being his everything, their everything. And actually they had the courage to go, walking in the fear of the Lord. That holy reverence, that holy respect for Jesus, that they would fear God more than man and walk in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, knowing they can't do it on their own strength. They can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And what you see is at Babel, when they're all in that one place and they wanted to make their name known and they wanted to build a tower up to the heavens. What you see in Acts at Pentecost is you see a church that is spread as they've stood together on a matter of knowing that Jesus is their Savior and they have been able to go and be his witnesses. And we stand here together because of that. And may it be able to be said about us as a church that we walk in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. When I was at school, there was a girl that came to me who was also a Christian. And this is at high school. And she said, this was in year 7. She was feeling very confident. And she said, Natalie, I feel like we need to get up in assembly and tell people about our faith. I've asked the teacher. They said it's okay. So we're going to do it. And I was a little bit like, no, I don't want to do that. I'm being really honest. I was like, no, it's year 7. Like, I don't want to get up and tell everyone that I'm a Christian, but she kept like pushing me and kept saying, so I was like, okay, I'll do it. And I got up and I said it. I didn't do a very good job of it. I was nervous, shaking, and I sat down after it and I thought, what have I done? That's it. That's the whole of my school life now. I'm gonna just get called and it's not gonna be good. But one of the girls that was quite popular in our year, as we were walking out of the assembly room, I'll never forget it, that she came up to me and she said, I respect you for what you have just done. And if anyone's got a problem with you, they can answer to me. And then all through my school life, we were maybe not best friends. We didn't always spend loads of time together. But I knew that there was someone always standing with me. And my prayer for us as a church, that God has got great things planned for us all. There are rooms that God may want us to be in where he wants us to share about what he has done in our lives. But actually that there'll be a power that comes and a positive thing that comes in knowing, yes, I might be here sharing the name of Jesus here, but I know I've got someone standing with me. I know I've got somebody that would be praying for me. And that we can celebrate one another. We can cheer one another on. We can pray for one another, knowing that we are stronger when we stand together. And so as I come to a close this morning, we've seen as we looked at the Tower of Babel, that actually standing together is a really powerful thing. When people come together on a matter, it is really powerful. But that doesn't always mean it is positive. It doesn't always mean it is blessed by God. But actually, we want to be a people. My prayer is that we would be a people that as we stand together, it is blessed by God. That we wouldn't be here trying to make a name for ourselves, but we would be here making Jesus' name known in our streets, in our workplaces, in our families, in Bolton, in the towns around Bolton, in our world, in the nations, that we would make Jesus's name known. And we see from the early church that there's a strength that comes that you can stand together when you learn to sit together. That actually we can get the strength to stand together when we are fully devoted to Jesus and make him the center of it all. And actually that there will be then moments where we have to step out, where we have to go. And a strength comes in knowing that we've got one another, praying for each other, celebrating one another. And so this morning, as the church, may our standing together not only be powerful, but also positive, that we would make Jesus the center of it all. That Jesus will be the center of us standing together. There are so many things that we could stand together on. There's so many things that we could make the center. But actually, let's make Jesus the center of it all as we move into this new season. And this morning, that might be a case of each one of us making that decision for ourselves. What we saw when I talked about Rosa Parks is that Rosa Parks made a decision to say no to something that she didn't agree with, to an injustice. She said no. In that moment, she didn't know that anyone would stand with her. But actually, what she saw is that as she did that, people did stand with her. And maybe the answer this morning is that for each one of us to individually choose to make Jesus the center of it all. And maybe, just maybe, as we live that life of chasing after Jesus, that it would inspire the people around us to do the same, and we would be able to stand together in that. We saw it was said about Peter Riley that he stood in the gap. Willie Hacking stood on the steps and people joined him. That maybe our response this morning is that as individuals, we would choose that no matter what is going on around us, we would make Jesus the center of it all. And that the knock-on effect of that would be that as a church, we would be able to stand together in making Jesus's name known. That we wouldn't hold the truth to ourselves, but we would be able to share it with our worlds. Would you stand with me, church, this morning? I'd love to pray for us. And I realize I may have been challenging this morning, and my heart isn't for any of us to feel a heaviness in this. My heart is that actually we would get real comfort in knowing that Jesus is our good shepherd, and that we can be distracted, we can look at a lot of different things around us, but actually when we make Jesus the center of it all, there comes a great comfort and a great strength in that. So dear Jesus, I pray this morning, Lord God, I thank you for everything you have done in our lives. I thank you that you transformed my life. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are my shepherd. I thank you that in times when I feel afraid or I feel scared, I know that you walk with me. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that for us as a church, that we are excited that we get to move into this new season. We get to move into this new season where we believe we're going to see miracles. We believe we're going to see salvations in this place. We believe we're going to see neighborhoods, families, communities transformed. We believe that we are going to see darkness pushed back, Lord God. We believe it all in the name of Jesus, because we are passionate that we want to make your name known, Jesus. We want to make your name known. So I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would make you the center of it all. And that as we do that, that our standing together wouldn't just be powerful, but actually would be truly positive and God ordained. pray that in that, Lord God, there would be a lightness that comes in that, that it wouldn't be heavy, Lord God. Oh, that we wouldn't grow weary because we know we are not doing it on our own strength, but we are walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, be the center of it all. Amen.